Hey, you want that to go?
Some takeouts for you on the news this morning. We're going to start with business, also a media story. That's why we're turning to the friend of the show, Johnny Roberts. He's a veteran media writer, formerly of Newsweek and The Wall Street Journal. Johnny, so we're hearing so much about the struggles of the newspaper industry, so much about the struggles of other media industries, especially news outlets. And yet we have this news that Bloomberg News, which is a multi-platform news service, they do radio, they do news, they do internet, they do all kinds of stuff, that they're doing great, right? They're thriving.
You noted that other the traditional newspapers and magazines are firing people. Well, actually, Bloomberg is sweeping up many of those reporters who are being tossed out onto the streets from old media. What's going on at Bloomberg is that it's expanding dramatically with the goal of establishing itself sort of as a major force in the media business beyond its traditional or historic core market, Wall Street. The core business of Bloomberg really has been financial data, analytics, and other software that help Wall Street traders make money, analyze risk, and spot opportunities.
And clients pay a pretty penny for that that stuff.
That's right. They it's about $20,000 a year for the terminal, or really what they are software packages that they, that are on Wall Street desks all over the place.
Okay. And Bloomberg is less than 20 years old. And I'm wondering, are we talking apples and oranges here to compare, say, Bloomberg to the New York Times or the Los Angeles Times? Are these two totally different things? Or are there things that these newspapers, traditional newspapers, can learn from Bloomberg in order to improve their bottom line?
Well, they are different animals, and it's about 30 years old next year, I think, 30 years old. But, yeah, they're very different animals. As I said earlier, Bloomberg has been in the information business, so it has that in common with the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, et cetera. But it focused on very specific financial data and information, and that was a very different revenue source.
Right.
Traditional newspapers and magazines, as you well know, the business there is advertising and subscribers.
Right.
Those are all going away.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. That's Johnny Roberts, a veteran media writer formerly of Newsweek and The Wall Street Journal.
Sports takeout now from sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. Couple of things. First of all, the Giants had their best Sunday in weeks because their rivals in the East, the Cowboys and the Eagles, lost, and they didn't play. The Giants didn't play. And the poor Jets quarterback here in New York needs to get another job. He lost one more time. But the huge football story is the undefeated Indianapolis Colts beat the New England Patriots 35-34. Now, Ibrahim, I recall you saying this the other day.
The Colts are starting to feel like a team of destiny.
Whoa. Dude, are they a team of destiny? They're undefeated. That was an amazing game last night.
So the Patriots rattled, the New England Patriots rattled off three straight touchdowns at the end of the second half. And it looked like the Patriots weren't poised to take this game with ease.
Right.
And they had quieted the Indianapolis crowd. Come to the second half and really into the fourth quarter, they were up 31-14 to start off the fourth quarter. And the Indianapolis Colts scored 21 points in the fourth quarter. And it all came down to the two minute and 8 seconds left, and it was a fourth and two, and Coach Belichick for the New England Patriots decided to go for it. Besides the fact that he was backed up against, you know, close to his own end zone, and he went for it on fourth and two, and they did not get it, and that was the call of the game, because then Indianapolis had literally 30 yards to go to score a touchdown. They took that 30 yards, they scored the touchdown, and they kicked the go-ahead extra point, and they won by 1 point.
So, you know, this was set up as a duel between quarterbacks, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, it was Belichick who got out-coached. That's what this is about.
And it was also, surprisingly, there was some fumbles, there was interceptions. You didn't see Dwight Freeney have the day that I thought he was going to have getting to the quarterback. It was really a game of runs and who was going to make the last run. I really feel like if New England had made the last run, they would have won the game.
So do you want to do a little Angels sort of statement about the Super Bowl? We got the Saints still undefeated. Saints, Colts.
I will say this, because of the way the Cincinnati Bengals are playing, and they won this weekend as well, 18-12 over Pittsburgh, the AFC picture is looking very, very crowded, which includes Pittsburgh Steelers, the New England Patriots, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are the tough team. But no matter what's going to happen, the road to the Super Bowl has to go through New England still. So whoever's going to have to win is going to have to go through those teams.
All right. And on the national?
The NFC is much more, there's a little bit more parity, but obviously the Saints are at the top of that pile. And I think that they are definitely the team to beat.
Saints at the top. Saints at the top on the national NFC side. All right. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports Contributor. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Good morning.
And our last takeout comes from you, our listeners. On Friday, we asked you how the foreclosure crisis was affecting your neighborhood and if you'd seen vacant houses around your home.
My name is Rusty. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, or around about. I don't have so much houses that are abandoned because I live in an apartment complex. What I've noticed is actually people are almost beating down the doors to get into apartment complexes. Maybe it's because they're cheaper.
But Molly, also in Detroit, sees no boom on her block. She writes, I have 7 houses standing on my block and 1 empty lot. 4 houses are occupied. That's led to my car being stolen at gunpoint once and a second attempt to steal it by hot wiring it. My isolated block is a haven for crime. That's how the housing crisis is affecting me.
Teresa from Oklahoma writes that everything's okay in her neighborhood. She writes, we don't have any foreclosures. Every house in my cul-de-sac is inhabited. We had one rental property which sold in October to someone who will occupy his home and not rent it out. But Lisa in Monmouth County, New Jersey writes that the single foreclosed dwelling on her block is already a spook house. The home down the street is under foreclosure. The family has stayed in the home and on the property for the past year, but they're no longer invested in the property, so the front and backyard has become a dumping ground for equipment, waste, and debris. The home has slowly become the neighborhood mess. Tell us how the foreclosure crisis is affecting you at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. We're also talking about Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Can the self-proclaimed 9/11 mastermind head to New York and get a fair trial? Does it matter? Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.